Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
So as I mentioned there before the break, up to 215,000 more people are eligible for free GP care from today. The scheme is being extended to those earning up to the average household income, with single people living alone the first group to be eligible. So it's good news for them in that they will no longer have to pay around €70 to see the family doctor. But there's another side to this. Will there be enough doctors to provide the service? Well, to give us their assessment of the scheme, I'm joined by former HSE Director General Tony O'Brien and Monaghan GP Dr. Ilona Duffy. Good morning to you both. Tony, I'll start with you. Your view, first of all, on the extension of the scheme, is it a good idea given how stretched we know GPs say they are?
Well, I think overall it's a good idea to remove barriers to access to healthcare, particularly financial barriers for those who currently have those barriers to face. But we also have to recognise that the combined effect of all of the measures this year brings about 500,000 people, adults and children, into the scope of free GP visit cards. That is to say, where they don't pay, but the state does. And that does give rise to concerns about the capacity of general practice, which we know is already under severe strain. There is an age profile issue. There are certain areas of the country that aren't well served by general practice. And clearly the real value in having a GP visit card isn't from having the card, but it's being able to access general practice. And if we're not resourcing general practice or structuring general practice in a way that makes that possible, then that clearly limits the value of the cards in the first place. Mm-hmm. So in tandem with increasing access, which in absolute terms is a good thing and is an absolutely important part of the whole Sláinte Care agenda, we do have to make sure that general practice is equipped in tandem with that to be able to cope with the resulting demand.
Isn't there an investment, though, of $130 million going into GP services to support this? And do you say that's not enough?
I'm not saying it's not enough. What I am saying is, and it's a bit like the old phrase, I wouldn't start from here. Ideally, you would have increased the capacity of general practice before increasing the demand. And that hasn't happened. So the investment now has a lead time. You cannot instantly train additional general practitioners or the other health professionals who work with them. That takes time to achieve. So there is a risk, in addition to the benefits, and in broad terms, I absolutely support the objectives of Sláinte Care. There is a risk that by increasing demand too rapidly without having increased capacity, we increase the burden on general practice and accelerate such things as retirements from the profession. And that ultimately devalues the benefit of the cards.
And there's no doubt in your mind that's what is happening today when you expand the free GP care plan, that more people will seek to visit their doctor. That happens.
Well, there is evidence from past expansions, but the whole logic, if we believe, as we do, that having to pay at the point of care is a barrier or an impediment to people seeking help when they need it. The logic is if you take that financial barrier away, more people will be able to seek that help more often. So consequently, there's an absolute logic, and experience to date shows that there will be an increase in demand, that those who have the benefit of these cards are likely to visit or want to visit their general practitioners more frequently or more often in the course of the year than would have been the case in the past. Therefore, it's reasonable to expect there'll be more demand.
Stay with us, Tony, because I want to bring in Dr. Ilona Duffy now. Ilona, we know that Minister Donnelly, the Minister for Health, has said that as of now, he believes GPs have the capacity to deal with this extension of free GP care. Is he right?
Well, I think it's very disingenuous of him to repeatedly make this comment when he absolutely knows that there isn't the present capacity to deal with any extra workload coming into general practice. And I mean, the minister was at the IMO conference and was clearly informed of this, but yet decided to go ahead and push through with the, you know, the rollout of this plan. And again, as Tony said, all of Tony's comments are just so perfect. We could have planned for this, and we should have planned for this to ensure that capacity had increased, because we have to remember there are only a finite number of GPs. And when we look back over the last 15 years in investment, we've seen a doubling of hospital consultant numbers. But in that same 15 years, the whole time equivalent number of GPs has remained static. And that is despite an increase in our population, an increase in transfer of care of workloads from secondary care, meaning the hospitals, out into general practice, and obviously more free access to people, which, as Tony has said, when a service is free, they will use it more.
Explain to me how this will work. Do you have to take patients who are approved under this scheme?
Well, I think the reality is the majority of the patients who will be entitled to these doctor visit cards, and remember, this is the yellow pack card. All it gives you access to is your GP. It's not going to give you free access to a public health nurse. It's not going to work hospital costs or any other costs that may be associated in the public healthcare system. So really the burden of healthcare delivery for all these people is going to fall onto GPs. So at present, most of these people will already be patients of our practice and would have been probably private patients. So I think it's going to be very difficult for any GP to say, no, I'm not going to keep you on now that you're becoming a medical card patient. So I think the reality is anyone who has a GP is probably going to be okay. They will be sorted. Patients and will remain with their GP. The big issue for us is that we know that over 10% of the population have no GP. Now, to date, if you're entitled to a medical card, the HSE could assign you, forcibly put you on a GP list, even where that GP has said, I'm too busy, I feel my numbers are unsafe, they would forcibly assign them. One good thing in this to protect general practice is there will be a limit to the number of assignments. But that obviously means that those people who are entitled to a medical card and don't have a GP may still remain without a GP and the problem may not be sorted. So we have to look at all of these issues and we have to say, where do we go now? And I know the minister gives the same mantra, which is we're increasing the number of GP training positions. And that is great. The hope is that we'll be up to 350 GPs being trained a year. But there is that 4-year lead-in time to that. And the reality also is that many GPs coming off the scheme are saying, this is a really difficult job. It is not the role that it was. It isn't family friendly anymore. I'm not guaranteed if I have my own GMS list, medical card list, or run my own practice that I'll be able to take annual leave, that I'll even be able to take sick leave. And I suppose two examples of that this summer are a colleague of mine that I know of who works in a single-handed practice and who had to send her family away on holidays on her own because she couldn't get cover. She couldn't find a locum GP, so she has no holidays this year. Another GP couldn't take time off, couldn't get a locum, trying to work in the practice, not able to physically examine people and having to ask her colleagues who are already overburdened to help her out. So this is what we're faced with. And until the minister is willing to accept this and actually admit that there is a problem and that we've got to sort the problem if we want to provide quality primary care healthcare to all the people in Ireland.
Gosh, Tony, just listening to those examples there, I mean, it sounds like we might be training extra GPs to go and work in other countries.
There is always that danger. I hope that that won't come to pass. But we do have to recognise that there are parts of the country now where it's difficult to get a GP appointment. I'm fortunate in the area where I live, we're not currently experiencing that. But in many places there are. And general practice has always been part of a health system that has been really accessible, has worked very well. And I've always had the view that, you know, your general practitioner is probably the most important medic or doctor you'll ever have contact with in your life, because you know, they see you through different stages of your life, whereas you've got hospital doctors, they see different pages in short stages of their life. So if we lose what we've had, it will be problematic. Now, in other countries, we've already seen, for example, in many of the jurisdictions of the UK, that we're seeing very significant difficulties getting access to general practice. We're actually seeing difficulties for people getting even to talk to doctors. And when that is lost, it has a very negative impact on people's sense of well-being and also produces difficult outcomes. So it's clear that we do have to ensure, by whatever means is necessary, that general practice is supported to sustain the level of care that we've all enjoyed in the past, but also to deal with this very significant transition, an important transition to remove financial barriers access to general practice. But as I said earlier, that will be a Pyrrhic victory if you have the right to see a doctor without paying. Mm-hmm. You can't get an appointment. That's going to be a real problem.
You said this at the beginning, Tony. This is the right thing to do overall, isn't it? Because we know people make decisions about their health and about seeing a doctor because of the cost. And if you're a family with children and you're looking at an additional expense of 60 or 70 euro, there's a good chance that you won't be able to afford that in a given week. So the idea is right. But then you have people like Eileen texting me saying she's got to wait at least a week to get an appointment and she's really worried that it's going to be impossible to get to see the doctor now. So it's about planning for it. It's about laying the foundations before you do an expansion like this, would you say?
Yes, it is. And there's a really very telling part of the press statement from the Department of Health, which talks about why they're doing it in two phases. 215,000 people becoming eligible now. another 215,000 people becoming eligible in November by changing the rates that you've already mentioned. And the reason stated is so that the application process isn't overwhelmed. So the recognition that this is having an impact is being reflected in decision-making, but only in the impact it's having on the administrative system, not on the impact it's having on the healthcare delivery system. And so if it's right to phase things in line with capacity to deliver, in other words, to process these cards, I think it would also be right to phase things in line with the rate at which the capacity of general practice is being uplifted. Mm. Absolutely, this is the right direction of travel. We need to get here, but what we can't do is damage the infrastructure of general practice on the way. Now, clearly that has to evolve. We have to recognise that the GPs need to be supported by other health professionals to practice at the top of their licences, but we don't want to end up the way it is in some other jurisdictions where, as I say, you simply can't get the care that you need from a general practitioner, which is really critical when something significant is happening to you.
Absolutely. Which could lead to
a real diminution in the quality of your life.
And we see it in the NHS. I think we just have to look across the border. I'm here in Monaghan, right on the border, where we have patients trying to come to us, because the reality of it is they cannot access a GP. And what happens is it is a snowball effect, where people decide to retire, the GPs retire that bit earlier, leaving other GPs under pressure, and a practice closes. And we know there are towns in the north where there are no GPs. We also know from providing a free at entry point system that people absolutely will use it, as is their right. So we're not complaining about that. But in the UK, in 1 month last year, 50% of the total population had visited their GP. So that's unsustainable unless we can kind of have the structures in place, have the models in place. And it can be done, but it's got to be planned for.
Dr. Ilona Duffy and Tony O'Brien, thank you both very much. Coming up next on the programme, the hidden impacts of non-fatal road crashes. Evelyn O'Rourke reports.